Welcome to Intuitive Transformations with your host, Sylvia Henderson, and discover tools, wisdom, and inspiration that will empower you to transform your life. Sylvia is an intuitive life coach and energy healer with a growing practice that is focused on empowering others to be more of who they want to be. For the next hour, join Sylvia and explore and unravel anything in the way of you creating the life that you would love to live on the Om Times Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to the Intuitive Transformations radio show, where you will find tools you can use to transform and change your life. I'm Sylvia Henderson, your host, and as you know, I'm here every Sunday evening at 6 p.m. Pacific Time and 9 p.m. Eastern Time on iOM.fm in your internet browser, right here on OM Times Radio, the voice of consciousness. And this is where you can easily find a wide variety of enlightening programs and consciously selected music for your listening pleasure 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, right here on OM Times Radio. Intuitive Transformations is all about connecting with creative and conscious minds on a soul-to-soul level and sharing valuable information and resources that will inspire you to expand into more of who you truly are so that you can step boldly into more of what you love and desire to receive in your life. And by the way, if you have not yet taken advantage of your free subscription to OM Times Magazine, please be sure to check out this week's edition with a beautiful cover photo of Misty Copeland right there on the cover. And while you're there, sign up for a free subscription. You'll be really glad that you did, so you don't miss a single issue. Every week, you will experience great content and beautiful imagery that will raise your vibration and will enlighten your life. And of course, if you would really like to raise your vibration on a more intimate and personal level and create real and lasting change in your life, then contact me for a complimentary 15-minute consultation and find out how I can help you transform your life and how you can experience the change that you have been waiting for. So to schedule a complimentary 15-minute consultation, just visit my website at intuitivetransformations.net, just like the name of the show, intuitivetransformations.net. And while you are there, please be sure to like me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, and you'll get weekly reminders about the show, and you'll get a sneak peek at who will be joining me on my upcoming shows. And by the way, I'm making some really fantastic changes to my website, my newsletter, my Facebook page. I'm getting an extreme makeover on anything that has to do with intuitive transformation. So be sure to sign up for my newsletter. And that way I can keep you informed on what's happening in the very near future. I want you all to know that I am incredibly happy about today's show. I am so excited because I have joining me today David Friedman, and he is an amazing musical composer and the author of one of my favorite books, The Thought Exchange. One of the things I love about having my own show is that I get to introduce some truly remarkable people to all of you listening. And David is absolutely someone that I consider to be a truly remarkable person, not only because of his successful achievements in the musical and entertainment world, but as an author and as a teacher of spiritual principles that people can use to heal and improve their personal lives. Early last year, I was looking for something meaningful to watch on Netflix. And as I was browsing through the selection, I came across a movie called The Thought Exchange, Overcoming Our Resistance to Living a Sensational Life. And what really drew me to this movie to actually sit down and watch it was the description. Because the description was exactly how I believe and teach, and that is that our thoughts create our reality and that what we think appears before us in the world. We all know that this is true, so why don't we do it, right? It sounds so simple. So the Thought Exchange really explores a simple yet profound way of looking at the world that allows us to understand and experience the truth about who we really are, where we really live, and what we really want, and how to have that all at all the time. Well, to make a long story short, I absolutely love the movie, and it confirmed so much of what I already knew to be true. And it also provided some really insightful wisdom that was very practical, and it connected a lot of the dots for me that were missing. And I was really delighted to find out and discover that the movie was based on a book written by David Friedman, who's my guest today. And this book is absolutely fantastic, and it goes into specific detail on how you can use the sensations in your body to change your thoughts. And today, we are going to talk with David about his book, The Thought Exchange, and also, get this, he has a brand new book. So we're going to also talk about his newest book, The Healing Power of Negative Thoughts and Uncomfortable Sensations. So before I bring David Friedman on, I want to tell you a little bit more about this remarkable person. David Friedman is a highly acclaimed film and theater composer, a songwriter, an author, a lyricist, and conductor who lives in New York. David has written songs of inspiration, love, and hope that take on new emotional meaning, especially in these challenging times. Some of his song titles include "We Can Be Kind to Listen to My Heart," "Help Is on the Way," "We Live on Borrowed Time," "Trust the Wind," "I'll Be Here with You," and hundreds more. And to David's credit, he has written music for 5 Broadway shows, including songs for the Beauty and the Beast Broadway. I'm sorry, I love Beauty and the Beast, but the Beauty and the Beast Broadway production, his own off-Broadway show, 8 Disney films, 3 television series, and recordings for such great artists as Diana Ross, Barry Manilow, and Nancy Lamont. David has in recent years come to realize and embrace his true passion and mission in life, which is to help heal and enlighten people in whatever way that he can. And so with this in mind, David wrote The Thought Exchange, a practical method of moving beyond positive thinking, which was the foundation for the movie that I was telling you about earlier. And his newest book, The Healing Power of Negative Thoughts and Uncomfortable Sensations. David spends a great deal of time traveling around the country, lecturing, giving concerts, and teaching thought exchange principles in workshops and private sessions. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome David to the show. Welcome, David.
Hi, it's nice to be here.
It is so delightful to have you here. So I would like for you to share with the listeners a brief overview of this process that you call the thought exchange.
Okay, let's see, where do I start? Well, the thing about it is, as you said, I noticed that, you know, I've read every book there is to read, and we all understand the principles that, you know, you change your thought, you change your life. And I discovered that although I was very educated at it and, you know, understood a lot, I thought, how come we're so unable to do this? You know, we keep falling back. We take on a positive thought, and the next second, we're back at the negative thought.
Right.
And it can't be because we're stupid or because, you know, we don't care enough or we're not trying enough, because some very bright and very well-intentioned people, including you and me, do this. And yet I found that for myself, I couldn't seem to hold on to it. So I thought, there must be something else going on. And so what I discovered is a lot of things are kind of counterintuitive. You know, the notion is that you take on a positive thought and then positive things will happen and you'll feel good.
Right.
Baloney. I have found when I take on a positive thought, often I feel worse. The example, like people say, imagine being out there on that Broadway stage opening night. Mm-hmm. I have been out there on that Broadway stage opening night. I feel like I'm going to throw up. You know, it's frightening. It's scary. So what I realized was that it is the positive thoughts, if they have been associated with trauma in our past, that create the uncomfortable sensations in our body, the discomfort, the anxiety, the pain. And so we keep going toward positive thoughts and they keep creating pain. So what we do, I don't call the quote unquote negative thoughts sabotaging, I call them protective. So we will take on a thought. If you said, I can do this, and someone slapped you in the face, then every time you say, I can do this, you're going to be frightened. The way to get out of feeling that is to think, I can't do this. So we are constantly protecting ourselves from sensations.
That's interesting. As soon as you said, you know, if we say we can and somebody slaps us in our face, it just, it does create an aversion. And so it's like our subconscious mind then says, well, how do we keep ourselves safe as a whole being, right?
Right. And the point is that all, as an adult, all that is happening is you are getting sensations in your body. And if you can feel those, if you're afraid of those sensations, no one's slapping you in the face now, but if you're afraid of those sensations, you will take on a thought that will not seem to endanger you. So the point is that so much of society is, you know, you look at commercials, it's all about take this pill so you can feel better, you know, don't feel anything, don't feel any sensations. And people think that the idea, if they can get the right thought, they won't feel sensations. You actually feel more sensations when you take on the thought you want. So unlimited thoughts are possible and unlimited possibilities are available to us. But in order to be able to take advantage of them, we must be able to stay with and experience the sensations that come up when we take on those thoughts.
That's very interesting. So, and that is difficult because, like you said, there's a pill for every uncomfortable feeling that's out there. And there's one commercial after the other encouraging to pursue something like that.
That's
so
right.
We're going to continue this conversation. We're coming up on a break in just a few moments. I want to remind everyone that I have here David Friedman, and we're talking about his two books. One is the Thought Exchange. We're going to get into the second one a little bit later. Please stay tuned. We will be heading into a break and we'll be back in just a few minutes. You don't want to miss the rest of this conversation. This is really going to be something impactful that you'll be able to use that will help you change your life. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. OM Times Radio, IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hi, my name is Monica, and I'm the host of Co-Creating Now. Give yourself an opportunity to connect with your all-knowing higher self and manifest joy, love, and peace together every Tuesday, 11 a.m. Eastern.
If you remember living fearlessly, joyfully, and in a world filled with adventure, happiness, pleasure, and unbridled living, then this show is for you. Join me, Dame Nicole Brandon, as I bring you the world's top experts in wealth, creativity, flow, seat edging technology, space, wellness, health, love, lust, and passion, all merging together each week here at the Hub of Happiness. Mondays at 6 p.m. Pacific Time and 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Passionate Living, where you can ride on the magic carpet ride of living and learn how to lead a passionately wild, exciting, and outrageously amazing life.
As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Sylvia Henderson on Intuitive Transformations Radio, and I have with me here a very special guest, David Friedman, the author of The Thought Exchange and the creator of the Thought Exchange process. And before we went into a break, David was sharing a little bit about how he came to find that that really what we're challenged with is our positive thoughts are creating uncomfortable situations, especially if there was a past trauma associated with it. And David, I want to ask you, is it always because, you know, when we think of positive thought, is it always about that there was a previous trauma associated with that? Because I kind of think of Lucy and Charlie Brown, where Charlie Brown would always ask Lucy to hold the football, and Lucy would always say, yes, I'm going to do it. And Charlie Brown would always fall flat on his back, you know, and or, you know, can I'm just wondering, could it also be an issue if you're stepping into something that's outside of your box, you're going into kind of expanding your borders and stepping into unknown territory?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's the reason I say about some sort of trauma or some sort of fear is that there are some positive thoughts that, you know, we feel perfectly comfortable doing. If I say, please pass the butter, I expect you to pass the butter. If I've had no trauma, some people have had a lot of trauma around that. So it's anything. The point is that when we take on the thought we want to take on, mm-hmm. if we have to be able to be with our sensations that come up. Thoughts produce sensations. So whenever we think a thought, we have a sensation. Now, interestingly enough, some people, like I worked with one woman who said she took on a thought of something she wanted to do that she wasn't doing. And I said, how do you feel? What sensations are you having? And she said, I feel very comfortable. And it came out that being comfortable was the most dangerous thing that she could feel when she was a child. So comfort felt danger because that's when she got hurt. So what happens is whenever you have trouble proceeding, see the way the thought exchange process works, let's say you take on a thought, I can do this. Mm-hmm. And then you notice that you have a tightness in your stomach. Let's say I can do this is not a problem for you. So you have I can do this and you feel a sensation that's pretty comfortable to you. Mm-hmm. Then you will stay with the thought I can do this, and the thought I can do this will come up, become a belief. Now, right. A belief in my lexicon is a thought that we think is true.
Yes.
No thought is actually true or false. No, they're just thoughts.
It's perception.
Exactly.
That is truth. Yeah.
Exactly. So, but if we believe it's true, we will begin to see the world in that way, whatever is in the world. This is the tricky thing where people get tripped up in new thought.
Yeah, I agree.
Where we live is only in the world of consciousness. I can't even prove that I'm talking to you. I know that I experience talking to you. If I was dreaming, I would also experience that. So everything is only going on in our interior experience. When I see something, it's actually going on in my retina. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is it's not a matter of what you're manifesting. It's a matter of that if I have the thought that I am wealthy, I will see wealth in everything. There's no intrinsic. I know people who have millions and millions of dollars and who see poverty. And I know people who have no money. I know people who live in mansions who complain about it all the time. It has nothing to do with that. So what happens is if you're holding the thought, I can do this, and you're comfortable with it, you will take on the belief I can do this, and that will be your interior experience, which is the only thing that matters. Now, let's say you take on the thought I can do this, and you get a tightness in your stomach. And that tightness in your stomach, you don't want to be with that. It scares you. You think you can't be with it for whatever reason. Right. You will then, instead of going to the belief, you will exchange the thought I can do this for a thought that doesn't give you tightness in your stomach. That thought is I can't do this. Then you will have a sensation that, strangely enough, is more comfortable, and you will take on the belief, I can't do this, and then you will see a result. By result, I mean the way you experience the world as you can't do it. Now, the minute you see that result, you say, wait a minute, but I can do this. So you exchange the thought for I can do this, and then you will immediately hit the stomach ache. And right. Then you will jump to the other thought. The only way to move through to get to the I can do this is to have the stomach ache.
And just do it anyway.
do it and have the stomach ache. And then this is the thing. I mean, there's so much to talk about. The stomach ache is actually what I call your inner child. When you were a child and something happened to you, you had this reaction and there was nobody there to see it, to experience
and interpret it for you.
That's
mm-hmm.
right.
Yeah.
So now you are sitting with that inner child. You are saying, since it's in the same body as you, I can feel what you went through. I can be with you. And that is the healing. A child does not need to be, like when people say, I talked to my inner child and I said, you're safe, you're fine. Not where the child is. The child is not safe and fine. You have to say to the child, I see that you feel unsafe. I see that you feel upset. I'm with you. And then, so the fact is that the real reason that we achieve things is so that we can be with our past and redo it by being with it where it wasn't been with. And so we actually heal by doing things and experiencing the sensations that go with them. If we don't, the inner child will keep trying to find ways to create an experience for us now that feels like its experience then, in hopes that we'll notice it.
So then the inner child, the way you're defining it, you know, I immediately go to Eckhart Tolle's book, A New Earth, and I'm thinking about the pain body. I don't know if you're familiar
mm-hmm.
with that.
Oh, very familiar, of course.
So is this kind of the same thing?
It's kind of, it's similar, but my feeling is the pain body is a kind of general kind of description of it. This is specifically based on everything.
On your early childhood.
But your inner child could be yesterday if you had a trauma. You
know, I see.
If you have PTSD, it's a matter of being with what happened. The whatever was not felt. Like
I like that. Whatever was not felt.
Yeah, it needs to be felt, but it couldn't be felt at the time because there was no
it
one
wasn't
to
safe.
Hold. That's right.
Right.
And so now you're making it safe to feel it. And of course, as an adult, we're also afraid of it. But we can. But that's part of it. We are capable of feeling the fear that the child fears. I'll give you an example. I have a friend who's a grandmother, and she was walking with her 2-year-old granddaughter.
Mm-hmm.
And they were walking her little doll carriage, and the carriage fell down the stairs, and the doll fell out. And the little girl was hysterical, crying, crying, crying. And my friend bent down and said, oh, it's all right. Look, the doll's fine. Nothing's the matter. Don't worry. And the child kept crying, crying. And suddenly she went, oh, thought exchange. And she sat down, and she went, that must have been terribly, terribly frightening. And the little girl said, yes. And then they went and had a nice day.
Wow. So just giving that child permission to be present with what that was and helping her to find the words of what that was. And
right.
That that's okay.
Right.
Allow her to process it so that the emotions, which I always say to people, it's energy that needs to move because it's energy that's in motion.
Absolutely.
And we stuff it down. Well, you know, so many of us, I mean, I'm sorry. I'm one of those kids that when I was a kid, I grew up, shut up. I'll give you something to cry about.
Oh, me too. Me too. I was a kid who was hit. And
yeah.
So every time, so now when somebody says anything that resembles things that were signals and some of them are nonverbal,
right.
I have an uncomfortable sensation in my body. Now, if I allowed my inner child to just run, well, I would think I'm going to get hit.
Right.
I'm not going to get hit, but what I'm developing is the capacity to feel that sensation, which I've spent my life running away from by taking on thoughts of better not say that, better not do this, better not go here, better not go there.
So this addresses affirmations. This, you know, and I'm sorry. I do believe that we do create our reality. So in some ways, the law of attraction. So if you have higher vibrational thoughts, you have a higher vibrational experience. But what you're saying is the reason we haven't been successful with this process is because and even in your book, I think you stated that our sensations are the doorway to our manifestation.
Absolutely. Because when you manifest, really, most of the time, my experience, and I know the experience of a lot of my clients, is that when you start to do things you really want to do, you get scared, you get anxious, you get, you know, the people I know who have big successes, they're not going, oh, and I'm so happy. They're anxious. They're under pressure. They're all sorts of things are happening because they have to deal with their sensations. So people keep thinking, oh, I want to manifest this, I want to manifest that. If you manifested it in your current state, you'd fall apart. unless you can be with what it feels like. As I say, you know, stage fright. Stage fright is not fear of going on the stage. Everybody has fear of going on the stage, practically. Mm-hmm. Stage fright is fear of how you feel when you're on the stage.
Or is it about being seen?
Well, it's not about it. It's just about whatever sensations you have. Mm. So when I walk on a stage, I used to say, my God, I'm panicked. Now I say, I am having a pounding heart and a churning stomach and shaking hands. These are the sensations that I have when I'm on a stage. They do not mean that I'm not going to be good. They do not mean that people hate me or love me. They are sensations. And then I have the choice of how to frame what goes on, because I'm not running from my sensations.
So real briefly, is there a distinction between sensations and feelings?
Oh, a tremendous one. Yes. Feelings are things like, you know, anxiety, love, hate, you know, happiness, sadness. Sensations are like tingling, tightness, itching, pain. You know, they're experiences. What we tend to call feelings are actually thoughts about our sensations.
I want to dig a little deeper into this. We're going to go into another break in just a moment. I want to remind everyone, if you're just tuning in, this is Sylvia Henderson on Om Times Radio, Intuitive Transformations. And I have with me my very special guest, David Friedman. We're talking about his process, The Thought Exchange, and how you can have a sensational life. And now after talking to David more in depth, I understand what he means by sensational.
Yes, it is a double meaning. Absolutely.
I love that. So everyone, please stay tuned. As we hear the music coming in, we're going to go for a short break and we'll be back in just a few moments. You don't want to miss the rest of this show.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Miriam Knight of New Consciousness Review, inviting you to my new show where I interview the rising stars of the conscious awakening. We'll explore the many faces of consciousness in action and intriguing perspectives on life, the universe, and everything in between. Join us each Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Rising Stars Show.
What if living didn't have to be so serious?
What if you could move beyond your problems with greater confidence and ease than you've ever imagined?
Throw your labels out the window and join the Irreverent Therapist for practical tips and a very different way of approaching the changes you would like to create.
Marilyn Bradford
and Pam Hodling
have empowered hundreds of people to come out of self-judgment, quit looking to experts, and begin to create the lives they desire.
Join us Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on the Irreverent Therapist Show.
What if business could be fun? What if business is the adventure of living? What are you choosing? Where do you do business that makes it easier, more fun, or more joyful for you? We'd love to see where you do business. Connect with us on Instagram at Joy of Business or Twitter at Joy of Business and share your pictures with hashtags Business Done Where and Joy of Business. Let's change the world with business. Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Sylvia Henderson, and we are speaking with David Friedman, author of The Thought Exchange, Overcoming Our Resistance to Living a Sensational Life, and his newest book, The Healing Power of Negative Thoughts and Uncomfortable Sensations. And before we went into the break, David was sharing with us the distinction between feelings and sensations and how feelings is really just the label that we give to these sensations that we experience in our bodies, like the tightness in our chest or in our stomach, or the queasiness we get, or the rapid heartbeat you may feel. And so, David, can you dig a little deeper into that? Because that's really what we're running away from. And honestly, these labels that we give them, how do we even know that we're labeling these sensations correctly? So I love that we just throw that whole process out.
Well, the point is that as I say, when you have a sensation, like if someone says to me, I'm angry, I say, how do you know that? They say, well, because I have a hotness in my chest. I say, why is that angry? It could be anything. Now, for instance, at the beginning of my new book, The Healing Power of Negative Thoughts and Uncomfortable Sensations, I say, for instance, let's say that you ask somebody out on a date and the person says no. This experience in itself doesn't have any intrinsic meaning. It doesn't in any way predict the future or say anything about who you are. And it doesn't even tell you necessarily what the other person's thinking, because the other person might not know, or the other person may be saying what they think we want to hear. So if we are get a no to being asked out on a date, we probably will have a sinking sensation in our stomach or something similar to that.
Mm-hmm. Sweaty palms, now, all of that.
Yes, whatever that is, exactly. Now, if in our earlier life we were taught to think that we were worthless, or we had experiences where we asked for things and didn't get them, we might take that no to mean nobody will ever go out with me. I'll be alone for the rest of my life. I'm so depressed. Now, if on the other hand, we had experiences where we lost things or were turned down, but were supported and seen, and where things turned out well in the end, we might still have that sinking feeling in our stomach, but the thought we might take on would be, well, they really missed out on something. I guess they're not the right one, or something better is probably waiting for me.
So the difference is using the experience to define who you are,
as opposed to just having it as an experience.
Right.
Now, let's say, for instance, that you have that sinking experience feeling in your stomach and you feel horrible and someone says, no, no, it's a positive thing. It's whatever. As you go toward that positive thing, you'll be going toward the very positive thoughts that endangered you, the thinking you could get a date. And so your stomach will hurt more. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't get a date. It just means that your stomach hurts when you ask someone out. And so I think that the people who ask people, there's a wonderful story, and I'll clean it up for radio, but there's a man, two men meet on the street corner, and they haven't seen each other in ages, and they say, how are you? Fine. How are you? Fine. How's your sex life? He says, oh, I have sex all the time. He said, what's your technique? He says, well, I stand on the corner, and every single person who passes, I say, want to have sex? He said, you're kidding. You must get yelled at and hit and screamed at. He said, yeah, I do, but I have sex a lot too. Because he just keeps asking. And so the people who ask, it doesn't mean that they don't feel the same sensations. They just don't give them the same meaning.
Right.
But they feel them. So where we have choice, we don't even have choice, because that's why I say negative thoughts. If I have something like that in my past, I will notice I have that sensation and I have the thought that it means this. But there's a big difference between I notice I have the thought it means this and it actually means this.
So, David, I totally appreciate what you're saying. But then I think about people who, because they have habitually disowned their feelings, stuffed them down, ignored them, ran from them, not wanted to do, you know, all kind. It's not just antidepressants, anti-anxiety. It's like the, you know, gambling or drinking or, you know, too much TV or working too hard to distract themselves from their feelings because they don't want to feel. Because even as a society, we've been taught that feeling your sensations that we've labeled with names to call them feelings is not okay. It's not approved of.
Right.
And so for someone who, you know, I know when I work with clients and we start talking about this kind of thing, they get very concerned that they'll be consumed by their feelings.
Well, what we do when we start, when we have people like that, is the process starts. In the second book, there's a four-prong process. And the first process is a meditation in which you simply notice what's going on in your body. And this is the thing, because we have put up defenses for good reason.
Right,
so
to keep us safe.
Sometimes when I say, notice what's going on in your body, someone will say, nothing's going on. And I say, then notice that. That is as far as you can get right now. But don't search for, like, for instance, I had somebody who had a very tragic loss of his fiance. And he came to a singing class, and he was going to sing what he was going to sing at her funeral.
Wow.
And he started to sing, and it was like totally phony and tight and stuff. And I said, well, what are you doing? And he said, well, I'm trying to figure out what my motivation is in these songs. And I thought, what your motivation is? You're going to be looking at the casket of your fiance. Mm-hmm. Now, what his problem was that he was feeling nothing. And he was thinking he should be feeling something.
And that was a protective mechanism.
Yes. But what he was he was in shock. So he would be feeling nothing. So let yourself feel nothing. And as soon as he did that, he began to break through to the other stuff.
Wow.
So the thing is that we work very slowly with people. Just say, close your eyes. What sensations are you feeling? And it doesn't have to be big. A tickling in your neck, a little itch, a little whatever, that we have to learn this because, as you said, rightly so, we are taught in every pore to not feel these things. And these things we are out of touch with ourselves, with our core, with our history, because we are trying. Most people go into new thought to find some magical thing so that they won't have to feel their sensations, and it fails every time.
So real quickly, for the sake of our listeners who don't, I know what new thought is. I go to Center for Spiritual Living, and so I read Ernest Holm all the time. But can you just briefly, in a nutshell, explain to the listeners what new thought is?
Well, that's a tough
I know, it's a big thing, but I thought maybe you could conceptualize it.
New thought is basically that we look inside, that God, if you will, or whatever, is
the divinity.
Indwelling, yes, is interior to us, whatever we think that is. And so we experience, as you'd say, divinity inside of ourselves, and we look to our interior experience as opposed to looking to somebody or something outside ourselves that's pulling the strings. And
right.
So
it really kind of correlates with the law of attraction, which you create your own reality.
I don't call it the law of attraction because I say that everything is inside us already. So I call it the law of noticing.
Oh, because it is about opening your awareness to what's already there.
That's right. We're not pulling anything in. So people often think I'm going to attract a lover or whatever. The lover's here already. You just don't see it.
Right.
Because the lover has to be inside of you first.
In order for it to be. Now, this is a great segue because I would love to talk about the invisible world versus the physical world, and then the mare concept that you so eloquently talk about in the movie and in both of your books.
Yes, yes. Okay, so in Unity, for instance, which is a new thought construction, substance is called the invisible world. Everything exists in the unmanifested. Everything exists in the invisible world, and then things temporarily come into visibility and then go back to invisibility. So I am currently in a body, so that body exists. Then I will go back. But the possibility of this body has always existed and always will. Because everything is possible in the invisible world. Where we live is in the world of experience, in the worlds of thoughts, which are invisible, and in the world of sensations, which are invisible. Whatever one thinks of as God is invisible. It's an experience.
Right.
Sensations are the...
That's physical.
The feeling. No, it's not physical.
Oh.
Something physical happens, but the experience of that physical
is
invisible. So, we're not talking about the heart that's pounding. We're talking about what your experience of a pounding heart is. A very good distinction. I'm glad you brought that up. So sensations are experienced invisibly, and thoughts are experienced invisibly, and thoughts and sensations are 100% of your experience. There is nothing else. There's no out there.
So what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Is it it's the sensation that creates the thought, or is it the thought that creates the sensation?
I think ultimately a thought creates the sensation. You know, something happens and you have a thought and then a sensation arises. If you didn't have the thought, the sensation wouldn't arise. But I think it is the chicken or the egg. I don't think that, you know, since the first thought or sensation was created, it's just a back and forth correlation. We have a sensation, we take on a thought about it, we change the thought, we exchange the thought, and we get a sensation. And then, so they actually work in tandem. But when I break it down for thought exchange, I usually work take on the thought. Like if we're talking about manifesting, I say take on this thought and notice the sensation you have when you take on this thought. Exchange the thought, notice the sensation. So that, because we're working with thoughts, people generally come into this because they want to have something in their life. What they usually don't realize is what they want to have is inside of them.
Mm. Everything is a projection from within.
That's right. And yeah. So fortunately we have the world. You'd say, what's the purpose of the world then? The purpose of the world is to see ourselves. So when I look at the world, what I'm only seeing my own thoughts, because it can only the world can only happen inside of me.
And this is what many people call our personal filters. When, you know, we're looking through rose-colored glasses, or, you know, and it's the same, it's what happens when there's an incident that happens in the room and there's 23 people there and there's 23 different accounts.
And there is no world. So there is no, it's not like this really happened. Nothing really happened.
So, okay. And I hear you on that because I'm a Course in Miracles student. So I get that. Mm-hmm. But for the sake of the listeners who this is their first time hearing this concept freshly from us, I liked how you talked about how we can't change our reality externally. It's all done on an inside job. Just like if you were looking in a mirror and you had a smudge on your nose, you wouldn't try to rub it off of the mirror. You'd rub it off of your nose to remove it, correct?
Right. Now, Len, when we come back, let's talk about that because I can explain it in one time.
Awesome. Okay, we're going into a break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on OM Times Radio. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hey ladies, do you want to have that good hair day feeling all the time? Gentlemen, would you want your special someone to have that glow, letting you know she's feeling completely satisfied? This feeling and that glow can be yours by embracing your sexual power. So join me, Rachel Kenley, award-winning romance author, on The O-Spot. The O-Spot will guide you to that peak with guest interviews, book discussions, and conversations on the thrills of sexual empowerment. Put the zing back in your life. Come up and see me sometime on The O-Spot, live on Hump Day at 10 p.m. Eastern.
Evolution is where sexuality and spirituality meets. Join me, clinical sexologist Martha Tara Lee, on Eros Evolution on Thursdays, 4 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. Conscious media for conscious minds. OM Times.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. It's Sylvia Henderson on Intuitive Transformations. I have David Friedman here. And before we went into the break, we were talking a little bit about the mirror concept. But before you dig a little deeper into that to explain that, David, can you please tell the listeners where can they find your books? Where can they find you, first of all? And then where they can find your books? And I believe your movie is still on Netflix. Is that correct?
Oh, it's on Netflix. And also everything can be found on thethoughtexchange.com. Thethoughtexchange.com.
Great.
That you can get the movie, my books. I have them in audiobooks. I have them in regular books. And I do a lot of private sessions. Right now, I'm in a music phase of my life, even though the book just came out. So I'm working on some new Broadway shows and on albums. So I'm not lecturing for a few months, but I do private sessions by phone and in person. And you can write to me at Midder, M as in Mary, IDDER 2000 at AOL.com. That's my music company name. Midder 2000 at AOL.com. If you have any questions, I love to answer questions. And if you want a private session or you want to know where you can get materials or anything like that.
You also have a meditation CD, is that correct?
Yes, there's a CD that there are meditations that go with this that put you in the position of knowing that you are a spiritual being living in a body, but that you are actually that where your life takes place. I mean, this is what we were talking about before, that the answer, you know, this work, you get into it very subtly. It's very hard to I'm describing it in general, but when we work with someone, one of the things we do, if you're looking at the world and something's happening, what you want to do is pause and say, where is this happening? Where is the experience of this happening? It is not happening in the world. It's happening inside of you. And that takes some practice to kind of, because it really seems like, you know, when you look in the mirror, you really think you're seeing somebody in there. But were you to reach toward it, you'd hit the glass.
It's very compelling.
Yes, yes, exactly. And so to learn that, I'm seeing something, but where is it being seen? It is being seen in me. And so it's like if you had your fists up at the mirror and you were saying, stop giving me fists. The mirror can't stop giving you fists. It's not like it won't. It can't, because you have your fists up. The minute you take your fists down, the fists will disappear. And so the minute your thought really changes, not I'm changing it to try and get it to disappear. We're not trying to make anything happen in the world. The world is the evidence of what's happening in us.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, go ahead. That's fine.
So say you have someone and they're like, okay, their finances are in a shambles and their relationships are not working. And, they've been thinking that the external world is the real world. They've been reacting to it. They've been stuffing down their emotions. And now they have this big ball of wax called, my life is no longer working for me.
Right. So what you do is you say, what am I thinking? And you will notice you're thinking, there's no money. You're thinking, I don't get to have success. You're thinking those things. Now you think you're thinking them because the world is doing it to you. But what if you just look at that, you're thinking them? So now you're inside of you and you're thinking them. Now, can you go into the great unmanifested where everything exists and find what you want and just see it and know that it is there? Once you know it's there, you have it. You don't have to have it in the outside world, but the outside world must reflect it. But if you're looking, I do this thing with people. It's very funny. I don't know if I can describe it. But I close my eyes and I say, I wonder if my eyes are closed. Let me look. Well, when I look, they're not. So I have to simply know within myself that my eyes are closed. I don't get to check. And so what happens is you begin to work inside yourself, not for the purpose of getting something outside yourself, but for the purpose of connecting to the fact that everything is in the unmanifested and is here for you. Because why? I have a whole section in my book on this. You want money. Why do you want money? Because you want a sense of well-being and safety.
Right.
Well-being and safety are to be found inside of you, not in money.
Isn't that what everyone really wants underneath the things, is that well-being and safety?
Of course. Why do you want things? Because things don't do anything for you. No. I know lots of people have tons of money who don't have a sense of well-being and safety.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is, as we detach from those things, we find that we have everything. We have what we need. And that seems, oh, yeah, but I want the money. But no, that's really not true. But it's very, as you said, compelling that the stuff, you know, that we want the stuff. But it really is not about that. And it's very difficult to let go of that, to go inside. But if we don't let go of that, see, if I say I want something, by nature, that means I think I don't have it.
Right.
So I am standing in front of a mirror saying, I want a blue shirt. I am not wearing a blue shirt. I will never see the blue shirt in the mirror, ever. I can't. Hmm. It's not possible. So what happens is, when we say we want something, look for it inside of ourselves. Then we have it. We don't even want it. We don't need it. We have it.
How is this? Okay, so I just want to try to get my arms around this a little bit.
Uh-huh.
So on one hand, it's about staying with those uncomfortable sensations.
Right.
And then on the other hand, is it, you know, what we actually are looking for is that sense of well-being, that sense of safety, which can only come from within. But yet we've had this history that has taught us over time, this evidence that, No, life for me is not necessarily safe and doesn't necessarily give me a sense of well-being. So how does someone reach into that using the thought exchange?
So quickly, you know, close your eyes and picture something that you really want. Think of something you really want.
Okay.
$1 million, you know. Let's just take $1 million. Can you see $1 million?
Yeah.
So that $1 million is there for you. It's here. Everything is in that invisible. Now, if you think, oh, but I can't get $1 million, then you're pretending that something isn't there that is there. But you think it has to be on the outside, not you. But, you know, so what we have to do is get in touch that we are sitting in everything we could ever want. Every experience, every feeling, but we're looking outside, and what we're seeing is what we're thinking, what we think we lack.
What we're thinking. What we're focusing on expands.
That's right.
Yeah, and the universe is always yes, no matter what you're thinking.
But even to take it further, which is very tough, it might take another show, there's really nothing out there. I don't know what's out there, but it doesn't matter what's out there. It doesn't do anything. It's only what's in here. And when we can really see what's in here, we will see it out there, but we'll see it out there like it's in a mirror. It will just be a reflection of what we're thinking. It won't be anything intrinsically in itself. It won't matter.
So in a sense, because I know that in the very, almost in the very beginning of the healing power of negative thoughts and uncomfortable sensations, you talk about the observer. And
yes.
So in a sense, what you're saying is that we really are just consciousness, divine consciousness
right.
in physical form. So it's the consciousness that is the within there. Is that correct? The awareness.
And the physical form is just experience in our consciousness. Everything
you had to go there. You know, we only have a few minutes left. You had to go there.
It goes deeper and deeper. We are just consciousness.
You're down the rabbit hole, Dave.
That's right. I know. But that is at
but
the
I
bottom
know
of it.
This is reality.
Yes, that is reality.
Real
and so
reality.
People, when they come to Thought Exchange, they come to get certain things. They don't get what they thought they were going to get, but they get so much more.
Yeah, because it empowers them to move out of their pain.
That's right. And you're not in any danger and there's nothing happening and you're just pure experience, and we are limiting our own experience because we think sensations mean something.
So I just want to tell everyone who's listening, I want to suggest this. Get the books, not just one book. Get both of them and read them both. Start with a thought exchange and then move on to the healing power of negative thoughts. And while you're waiting for the books to arrive, watch the movie.
Yeah, that's a good way to get a good overview in an hour.
Because it will give you really good. I mean, I loved the movie, how it just very succinctly explained exactly what David and I are talking about right now in a way that I think everyone can digest and absorb.
Yes.
So that it really makes good clarity and sense. So it's practical for you. So you can implement it in your life. Really, I felt right away just from even watching the movie, even though it wasn't all the detailed steps. You know, one thing I would love for you to do, David, if you think about it once you're out of your musical phase, is maybe doing a workbook. And so that this, because I know you do teach the workshops and everything, but this really needs to go more global.
Yes. People are asking me constantly to train teachers and stuff like that. My music career has been so busy, but I will get to it. I will take that suggestion because there are a lot of people, when I go do a workshop, they say, how do we continue this? So I think I do have to do this.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, David, you know, we only have about a minute left in the show, and I just want to thank you so much for spending your time with us and sharing your amazing wisdom and insight. And again, listeners, please go out and get these books. I highly encourage you to do so. It will change your life. I mean, for me, it's 16 years of my spiritual experience in these two books. And it will make a tremendous difference. So thank you, everyone, for joining us today. I'll be back next Sunday. Once again, you know where, Om Times Radio. Enjoy the rest of your week, and love to you now. Bye-bye.